560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, even on these days of rain and tornado warnings.
Tornadoes,
so
yeah.
Please, yeah, everybody be aware.
Should we start with that?
Let's do.
Yeah, so the tornado warning for northeastern Spalding and south central Henry counties will expire at 8 o'clock because the storms have moved out of that area. However, there's a bulletin tornado warning for southeastern Henry County in north central Georgia until 8:15 this morning. So just be on the lookout for that.
There's been confirmed tornado sightings, isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they by radar. They're identified by radar, but... That's still, yeah. Wow. So we pray for all the people in the path.
Well, let's do that right now. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Jesus, we pray for safety and guidance during this unpredictable weather. As I say, our Father, who
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name. Well, I think you had a... interesting story you wanted to share with us, David.
Well, it occurred to me. So last week, we talked about this, that yeah. My truck, the water pump went out on it, and so I had to get it fixed, and I didn't want my wife to drive all the way across town in rush hour.
But you made her do it anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
So I ended up getting a hotel close to here, because yeah. I live an hour away from here. I live in Beaufort. So the next day, I'm realizing, why did I spend that much money on a hotel when I could have rented a car?
You can do, like, they have, like, Uber car rentals, essentially, right? Like, it's, I think you can do it through an app now and rent the...
You can rent a car through
Is
Uber?
Is it somebody's yeah. personal car?
I think it's, like, a personal car, and it's cheaper than a rental car company.
I did not know that.
Dave, you could have rented my car. I would have taken Marta home.
Yeah, no, I'll just go to Enterprise or one of the... That's all right. Thank you.
I might have some surprise damages that I report once you hand the keys back to me.
But have you ever done that where you do something and then afterwards you think, oh, I should have done this. Why didn't I do that, you know?
There have been times, but I can't... They don't come to mind now, but I know. I can hear myself saying that before. Oh, why did I do this? I didn't need to do it. Just can't come up with the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I've done it many times. I know mm-hmm. that.
I don't want to say this because we don't want to beat ourselves up, but like I have these, that what you talk about is just practical. I mean, like that's, you know, you're in the moment, you make the best decision you can.
Right. Yeah.
But I've had so many just like sequences of stupidity where I'm like, what, how much time did I just waste trying to do X, Y, and Z when I could have just done mm-hmm. Y? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a straight path. I shared a little bit about it last week. I mean, one that kind of comes to mind where I was at a church praying, and I left my phone there. And it's like, wait a minute, where's my phone? And I'm freaking out, and I noticed that somebody else was in the chapel, like maybe... someone thought it was their phone and they took it out, and I'm like just running around this church like I'm casing the joint or something. People are probably like, what's going on with this sketchy dude? And finally I'm like, I know what I'll do. I'll pull out my laptop and I'll do a iCloud find my phone, and I press the button, and I'm like, I hear her beeping, and it's in the sacristy, and I'm sprinting back there, and I'm like, I found it, my phone. And there's a deacon like, this was in the bathroom. I'm like, well, we didn't need to say that, but okay, thank you, thanks for rubbing it in. I get the phone, I fly out, I'm good. And then I realize I left my computer at the church.
Laptop.
Yeah, not just at the, I'm talking about outside by a trash can. As close as I could to get Wi-Fi reception while being inconspicuous. And so I had to flip it around like 2 miles and go back and get it. So I the struggle is real.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, it's easy for these things to happen because we are so busy. We have so many things going on, you know, multitasking and just trying to keep everything together. I know for me, usually it might be losing my keys or losing my phone. Thank God, you know, I have a little key tag on an Apple key tag on my keys. So if I leave my keys somewhere, my phone says, okay, your keys are here. And that has helped a lot.
That's, until you lose your keys and your phone.
I know, then I'm in trouble. Actually, no, I'm not. St. Anthony.
St. Anthony does work. But to your point, Dave, and your point, Allison, I think what's important about this, and this has been brought to my opinion, like it can also get dangerous when we want to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, when we say I shouldn't have lost this or I can't believe I did this or that. Now, I mean, there's something, we're not talking about sin here, but just the you know, being a chronic human being.
Yeah.
If we were anything other than that, what need would we have for God? Mm-hmm. I think these are moments where we say, okay, I'm a fallible creation, but luckily there is someone who can work all of this for good, and perhaps I can trust in that plan that you have in the midst of this mess.
Well, and maybe even laugh at yourself, because I know we have a little few little changes today, right, Dave?
We do. We haven't talked about that yet.
And so I'm asking for humility and patience.
If you're a regular listener, you hear Josh does the traffic, and Allison comes on and reads a couple little current event news things that are going on. Well, we're switching the roles here today, and Josh is going to be doing,
and just that's not, I'm not going to be stepping into the role of a woman, okay, just for everybody
no way,
to
Jose.
Pay attention, but we are going to be switching our roles, just to, you know, to broaden our skill set and, you know, for future broadcasts as well. So I will be handling the news today
and the intros, and I get to do traffic, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So buckle up.
Absolutely. So who's going to tell us what's coming up on the show?
It was supposed to be. Well, thanks. I just realized it's supposed to be me. This is trouble.
See, this is why I wanted to talk about this, because we're going to have a few hiccups along the way.
You know what? I think I can find it really quick. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, found it. All right, so coming up on today's show, we have Greg McDonald, the founder of Men is Christ and parishioner at St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia, a truly a Quest favorite. Mm-hmm. Totally crushed the pledge drive and just was so amazing. Him and his wife really inspired us. We have Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, unpacking today's gospel. Of course, our buddy Chuck Persner is rocking and rolling with Get Acquainted with the Sainted as he tells us about St. John Baptiste. And Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, will be talking about the similarities of the two sons and the gospel reading of the prodigal son. Really, really great stuff we have. It is 8:08 and currently a high of 67 degrees. Currently 67 degrees with a high of... No, it's... See, this is why we need... Hold on. Is this clock right? I'm looking at the temperature.
That's the current temperature, 67.
Okay. It says... Well, I just got a thing that handed to me. It says 63.
Let me share. Okay, that is the actual tower by the airport. So how about the weather in Roswell is 63? Because that's where our studio is. But it can be a little bit more everywhere else.
And real quick, I just want to mention, too, that there's still a tornado warning for southeastern Henry County in north central Georgia. That goes on until 8:15.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And we are back with Greg McDonald, founder of Men as Christ and parishioner at St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, Georgia, really helping to imprint authentic masculinity at the intersection of our humanity and holiness. So glad to have you with us, Greg.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I do like that shade of lipstick that you're wearing. He's not wearing lipstick. I'm just kidding. You know, building on your story of finding your phone and your laptop going back, what I found is really dangerous to do at Mass is to put your phone kind of where the booklets go, because if you're not careful and not watching it, people next to you may think it's their phone and leave with it, which has actually happened to me.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
How did you track it down?
Well, I saw her grab it and start walking, but I was praying, and so then I'm chasing this nice older lady down at the fair and go, wait a minute, you have my phone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know what? And I think that's even interesting, too, right? Because a lot of people read the readings for the Mass on their phones at church.
Lots
so, yeah.
of people do, yeah.
So when you see people at church, you know, most of the time, they're probably going over the readings and following along. So,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Greg, you have a pretty dynamic ministry. It's been, it's really been blessing my inbox. I'd love to hear a little more about it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. So Men as Christ is basically, it's an international Christian faith group. And so we don't wear our Catholicism on the sleeve because we are fishing in a much bigger pond than that.
Yeah.
So the irony of it is we started in about 2015, and now it's been 10 years, which is unbelievable to think about that. But we've grown to where it's about 70,000 men and women in over 255 cities. And 195 countries around the world.
About that, that's so interesting. Is this more of like a digital online community, or these small groups, a mix of both? What does that look like?
Yeah, and maybe it's prudent to talk about the kind of the genesis of what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So my upbringing, very Catholic, and about 2005, I was really looking for a men's faith group, a men's Bible study, and I got into one. It was cross-denominational, and that was in Cumming, Georgia, and we moved probably about a year later back to Michigan for work, so we were relocating out of the area, and we'd come back later, but when I went to Michigan, we had one with Father John Ricardo at our parish. Right. So he was our pastor in Plymouth, Michigan, Our Lady of Good Counsel. And we had a fantastic men's group there. So I joined that. And then I also started a men's Bible study outside of that with just a smaller men's Bible study. We moved back in, I want to say, 2011 to Atlanta for business. And when we came back, I was looking for it in I was going to different parishes, and I was trying different studies. What ended up happening was we started I just said, well, look, we did it before. We'll do it again. And I started a men's ministry. But in Atlanta, the big thing about Atlanta, as we all know, it's so transient. So a lot of the men were leaving. And when the men were leaving, then it became, well, we'd like to stay in touch with what we're doing. And we had built it up to just a group, I want to say 15 to 20 men on a weekly basis, looking at the upcoming gospel and talking about it. And then we talk about life and different things as well, and pray and all of the normal things that you do. And once we put it online, something happened that we never anticipated. It exploded.
Really?
So God took it. We started just posting on LinkedIn because most of the guys were on LinkedIn because of business purposes. And we started posting there, and it started exploding where people would see it and like it and they'd want to know more. So then we would say, well, here we post a weekly blog. If you're interested, we'll put you on the list. And it started growing. And it got so big online that we knew we had to have a website. We knew we had to. Jesus really took it in a different direction. And I was at Mass at St. Anthony's in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And I had never had an experience, if you will, with the Blessed Mother. And she spoke to me from the statue to the left of the altar there and said, you can do this. And so she was calling me to do more. And so when we put it on, I went to a friend of mine who is a retired IT professional in our group. And he said, well, he goes, I don't really want to set up your website or the website for the group. But he said, I'll show you how to do it.
Beautiful.
And so then I learned how to do it. We put it online.
Wow.
And then over the last, that was in 2016 that we started the website. And the analytics on the website and the blog and the looks and the posts and the likes and the subscribes went off the charts. And that's how we now are in all of those countries, you know, 195 countries. It's amazing when you look at the global footprint, because we never expected that. We have people in China who have joined the group.
Wow.
And they're very concerned about their safety as Christians in China. We have Persian women in Iran that are also on the group.
Wow.
And they are also, it's just this amazing. We have all the normal people. But the other part that was really interesting is what started as a men's group, the ladies got really involved. So all of a sudden, we had a lot of women that were wanting to join. And of course, we're like, the more the merrier. So even last week, I had somebody request, well, maybe you should, a nice woman had replied and said, well, maybe you should consider changing the name of it because you might, the ministry is so big and the website has so much to offer beyond these weekly blogs on the upcoming gospel. And she suggested that we actually change the name. And I said, well, we're about 60 to 40 men to women at this point. So it's just been unbelievable. I don't know how to describe it to people being on this side of it. If anybody's had a ministry and you just honor the Lord and watch it soar, it's the most unbelievable thing. And you know you had very little to do with it because you just acted and stepped out on the water for Christ. Mm-hmm. And then he did what only he can do and also what he wants to do. I never wanted to create a website. I never wanted to continue this for 10 years, right? That was, these were not in my, these thoughts were not in my head. And now it's something that you just can't stop. And that has grown into where we've written three books. We have more books in the queue that'll be coming out. We have a lot of things related to our Catholic faith on the website.
I see that. Yes.
Yeah. We have a lot of
websites. Great, by the way, looking at it. It's so cool.
Yeah. And it's www.menaschrist.com. So very simple. And people can see there's contact information there if they're interested to, if they just want to look at it or if they want to subscribe, people can subscribe. You can easily unsubscribe. So it's not there. It's not some sort of, it's not a revenue generator. Most people are just interested in learning more, and the conversations that I get to have offline, and that we get to, the stories we get to share. There's a section on there called Our Stories, where we have, and one of the books that we wrote called Front Row Faith was about those stories because people started sharing their stories, and these are stories from around the world.
Wow.
And probably, I don't know, 20, 30 stories that are on the website currently. So we continue to develop it.
Well, I love it. And as a woman, I love seeing men as Christ. And again, you have the scripture verse from Proverbs 27:17, where iron sharpens iron. I mean, when I look at this, I'm like, and I know you, Greg, you love the Lord. You are manly. You're on fire. So it's so beautiful. I mean, just the ministry and all that you do.
I have to be honest, though. I didn't come up with that on my own.
Yeah.
The iron sharpens iron.
I knew you didn't.
That is Proverbs.
You are a doer of the word. We are part of the word.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Wouldn't it be cool to just iron sharpens iron in quotes and dash Greg McDonald?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm gonna find this work.
I love it.
I like that. Well, and the funniest thing is in a lot of my Catholic circles, I see so many women involved. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you that one of the drives, if you will, of this ministry is that so many men, they want to lead their families, but they're not doing it as spiritually as they should be doing it. And so it's been an opportunity to really love on a lot of men. So of course there are women involved in all of that. There's always women involved, thank God. And what we found with a lot of the women is they would start saying, well, I want to send this to my son. I want to send this to my husband.
Yes.
I want to send this to my brother. I want to send this to my dad.
Yeah.
And we're, our reaction is always, yes, please do. Because we'd love to have their swords. We'd love to have them part of this. So,
amen. Yeah. So Greg, where can people go again if they want to learn more about Men as Christ?
So if you go online again, it's www.menaschrist.com. So typical, very, very straightforward, easy to find. And easy to see. And if anybody has any questions when they get there, there's a contact page, so you can reach out to us, and that will come to me directly.
Yeah, check it out, Men as Christ. I also want to give a very quick shout out to your recruiting executive recruiting business, Maccabeus, which definitely like flagrantly infuses faith based principles in everything you're doing professionally. So awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
We're so grateful for you, Greg. Thank you again, buddy. Coming up, we have Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, unpacking today's gospel. Get acquainted with the sainted is after that with our good friend Chuck, and Father Mark White will be closing us out on a really, really beautiful reflection on the prodigal son.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the morning quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, is back, and she is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. So good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Our gospel message is from John 8, 12 through 20. Mm-hmm. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You testify on your own behalf, so your testimony can't be verified." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I do testify on my own behalf, my testimony can be verified, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by appearances, but I do not judge anyone. And even if I should judge, my judgment is valid, because I am not alone, but it is I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it is written that the testimony of two men can be verified. I testify on my behalf, and so does the Father who sent me." So they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the treasury in the temple area. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. That is the gospel for today.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep. So, a couple things struck me. I know where I came from and where I'm going. Mm. I think that struck me to make me stop and say, okay, do I know where I came from? Mm-hmm. And do I know where I'm going? And if we look at ourselves, recognizing that we are created by God. That's where we came from. Mm-hmm. Created out of love by our Lord.
Yeah.
Then we got half of that.
Yeah.
Right? We know where we came from. We've got to believe that we're children of God, and we were created out of love, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And we need to hear that, I think, often. We are loved. No matter what happens on earth with our loved ones here and so on and so forth, or, you know, friends or whatever, any kind of rejection, we are not rejected by the Lord. We are loved.
Yeah, I think about when I was at my father's burial and, you know, just the emotions going into that. And like anybody, you know, my father was a chronic human being, right? Mm-hmm. He was an imperfect person. But just thinking about the depth of love I had for him and driving there, just the flood of memories that I had thinking about how much he loved me. It was just like God gave me the grace of this beautiful montage from heaven. Yeah. And I thought about just as imperfect as he was, the incredible amount of love that he showed to me. And I have to stop and think, if that's how much my dad loves me, mm-hmm. who is limited by the imperfections etched into all of our humanity, mm-hmm. how much more does my heavenly Father love me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can't fathom it. Our brain is limited, you know?
Yeah.
We can't fathom the love that our Creator has for us.
And I really think that for me, at least, you know, with scruples and things like that, that can kind of, I don't know, maybe other people don't struggle with it as much as I do, but, you know, it's been shared to me really the antidote to so many of our interior woes is a deeper understanding of God's love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that we're worthy of that. We do sin.
Sure.
But the mercy that the Lord shows us helps us through that. And that mercy is because of the overwhelming love that he has for us.
Yeah. Mm.
And so then the second half is, where am I going? And I think that's hard for a lot of us to figure out, okay, so what are we supposed to be doing here?
Yeah.
And if we bring God into those decisions of where am I going, then God's will is part of that discussion. And so how do you discern God's will? Well, I mean, that's a tough one, and it's an ongoing one.
Yeah,
sure.
That you kind of have to keep at it. I can look back over my life decisions in my career and different things like that and see God's hand in it. But a lot of times it's because I actually brought God into the decision making and said, okay, Lord, if I don't do this, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing this right now, but I feel called to something. I'm not sure what it is. Open. My heart is open.
Yes.
You know, just whatever you want. But the light, you know, the Lord said, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I think that if we focus on Jesus as our light, as our guiding light, that helps us in our decision-making for what it is that we're supposed to do in life.
Yeah.
And so where do you find that light? Well, scripture, for one.
The sacraments.
Sacraments. You know, the tradition of the church.
Service.
When you, you know, there are very many learned people, spiritual directors, priests who have an understanding maybe of certain theological virtue, truths, things like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places where you can find the light of Christ, but in prayer and in silence as well.
Mm-hmm.
Being silent and...
Something else just to share with that, Kat. It's such a powerful point. I am the light of life. Is so, you know, there's seven big I am statements in John's gospel. I am the bread of life. That one's important. I am the light of the world. You know, John 8. I am the gate for the sheep. John 10. I am the good shepherd. John 10. And again, I am the resurrection of the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. So, I mean, it's like when you hear him say, I am, in this capacity, in this authoritative capacity, it's like, perk your ears up. Something important's coming.
Yes. And I would say, you know, we should take all those I am statements and, you know, cross-stitch them into a pillow or something.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
How powerful was that just for you to go down that list of the I am statements? Mm-hmm. Because that's stuff you can hold on to. That's, you know, Jesus, you can hold on to that. And you can hold on to who he is for us. And definitely our Savior.
That's a great point, Kathy, because, I mean, when we're in moments of distrust or fear, to have something like this just framed to look to and go, wait, no, that's who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future.
Correct. Yeah, most definitely. That's awesome.
That's a great idea, Kathy. We'll get into a little side business together and see
who knows how to cross stitch.
Yeah.
Not me. I do not know how to do that, but... I know how to hire someone to do that for
me. There you go.
I think that for us, maybe our closing statement would be, you know, do you know where you're coming from? Mm-hmm. And recognize that you're coming from, I could tell you, you're coming from our Creator, the love of God. And then where you're going, that's for you and Jesus to figure out. Mm-hmm. But figure it out with Jesus. You know, make sure you have the Holy Spirit right there, guiding you along the way.
Yeah. Amen. That's a beautiful message. By the way, this is just, you're just scratching the surface if you're listening to Kathy with us right now, because she has a Bible study that is going down at St. Thomas Aquinas.
St. Thomas Aquinas on Tuesday nights. We're just finishing up Acts. We'll finish up Acts on Holy Week. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to take a little break and see what we're going to do next. And we might move the day, but we'll see. But in the meantime, you can always reach out to St. Thomas Aquinas and find out when the next Bible study is.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing I'll just say super quick is Jesus said that quote, my testimony is valid.
Yeah.
So I believe Jewish law, as expressed in Deuteronomy, emphasized the importance of two witnesses.
Yes.
Well, technically, Jesus has three. I mean, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and he accentuates this. Myself and my Father testify to this. So, again, it's like he knows the law better than anybody.
Yes, exactly.
And they're trying to weaponize it. And he's saying, excuse me, like any ethical construct actually comes from me and my Father. So you can't use it against him because he's the ultimate creator.
Amen. Good job.
Thank you so much, Kathy. We're so grateful for you.
Thank you.
This is what your news for today. Idaho Governor Brad Little signed House Bill 264 and reinforcing, this is April 3rd, reinforcing privacy protections for women and girls by restricting access to female-only spaces in public institutions to biological women. The law prohibits men from entering women's restrooms, locker rooms, changing areas, and domestic sleeping quarters in areas such as public colleges, universities, domestic violence shelters, and correctional facilities. cities. This bill strengthens protections by ensuring that female-only spaces in public higher education institutions are not open to men, but also violence shelters and correctional facilities aren't open to men, prioritizing privacy and safety for every Idahoan woman. I think I said that right. Alliance of Defending Freedom commended Governor Little for signing the bill and praised Representative Eidhart, Senator, for the Family Policy Center for championing the measure. This is from Catholic Loop. I'm Josh Harris. Coming up, we have our dear friend Chuck Persner helping us get acquainted with the sainted. Following that, Father Mark White is going to be shedding a really beautiful light on the story of the prodigal son in a way I believe you've never heard before.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It's 8:35.
Morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning to the greatest saint scholar in America.
Where?
There.
We're looking right
Chuck
at him.
Chuck Persner.
All right. Well, we'll go with it. Why not? I can't lie during Lent. Actually, no, we can't do that. So anyway.
You do a marvelous job, Chuck.
Saint John Baptiste de La Salle was born in Reims, France on the 30th of April, and he's who we celebrate today by way of an optional memorial. Today, the 7th of April, and that was the date he died in the year 1719.
By the way, question for you. You say optional memorial. So every day, are there just a litany of saints you could choose from that are, you know what I mean, kind of in the bullpen, and then there's the main guy you're going to celebrate that day?
Well, some days there's no saint to be celebrated at all.
Yeah.
And then other days, and I've always wondered who makes these decisions. Someone far smarter than me, I can guarantee that. They will, from time to time, choose an optional memorial. And you can follow along with your Mass supplements, and that's how you kind of know who's coming up and who isn't. We've just celebrated some solemnities recently, for instance. Obviously, St. Joseph warrants a solemnity, which is the highest.
Yeah.
And then we have memorials going on down the line. St. Thomas Aquinas, for instance, would warrant a memorial. Some of the other saints, on the other hand, are just simply optional memorials. So it's at the priest's discretion. I think it's just an opportunity for the priest to decide whether or not he doesn't want to flood the calendar and take up too much time at Mass celebrating saints. So what I've noticed is during the Lenten season, saints tend to take a back seat throughout the month of March. As you know, we kind of got creative going off the grid a little bit with some of these saints because there weren't that many. But for that three-day cluster in the middle of the month where we celebrated St. Patrick, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and then St. Joseph.
Some heavy hitters.
Oh, there certainly were, yeah. But other than that, it's been pretty sparse. So, you know, the church, in her wisdom, kind of dots the calendar with these optional memorials from time to time. Who warrants a liturgical celebration and who does not? Well, I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
I've you know what? Kind of I just looked it up, though. I looked it up. Okay, so this is a fun field fact. I think I needed to know this. And, Chuck, you're such a wealth of wisdom. The Catholic Church, through the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, a.k.a. the Vatican Office, they are responsible for determining which saints are celebrated on which days in the Universal Church calendar. So their most saints are assigned to a date of their death, like you talk about,
typically.
Chuck. I didn't know that until you brought that up.
Yeah, typically.
You know, and if the death date is unknown or conflicts like with a major feast like Easter or Christmas, a nearby or symbolic date is chosen. So interesting stuff, right? And managed by the Holy See, especially for saints venerated worldwide. And revisions are overseen by the Pope and the Congregation for Divine Worship.
Well, and you know, we had one example recently, I believe it was St. Louise de Mirillac, where a number of people who had a strong devotion to her, they petitioned the Vatican to move her feast day outside of the Lenten window because they felt she was getting lost in the shuffle.
Ah.
So that can happen too. But as you said, Josh, typically we celebrate saints on the day of their death. But, you know, in terms of who warrants liturgical celebration, who doesn't, you know, there's your answer. Of course, we do know too that saints do occasionally fall off the liturgical calendar. St. Kevin is an example of that, St. Christopher, St. Philomena. So as the times change, and I'm sure that's going to continue to happen as more saints are canonized. But
were they on bad behavior? Is that what happened, Chucky?
I'm not sure how they lost their coveted spot on the liturgical calendar. That would be kind of a bummer, though, wouldn't it?
But they're still saints.
Yes.
So,
oh, absolutely.
Nobody panic.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, there's 365 days in a year. So let's back out all the Sundays. So, I mean, if I were to guess, I'd say maybe we celebrate 175 or so of the 10,000 plus
wow.
saints.
Whoa.
So, you know, to get a feast day on the calendar, as this man today, St. John Baptiste de La Salle, did, is a huge accomplishment.
That's elite.
Yeah.
It's absolutely above lottery odds to be proclaimed a saint by the church.
It really
calendar.
Is. Yeah. It's like becoming a doctor of the church.
Yeah.
I mean, to be canonized is one thing, but to become one of only 37 doctors of the church or a martyr.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really is amazing. And, you know, John Baptiste de La Salle was a man who devoted much of his life to the education of poor children in France.
Nice.
And in doing so, he started many long-lasting educational practices, which we'll discuss. And mm-hmm. he is thought of as the founder of the first Catholic schools in France.
Oh.
So in some respects, he's our Mother Seton, or the France's equivalent of, mm-hmm. Mother Seton. Born into a very large family, a wealthy family, too. His parents, Louise de La Salle, and his mother, Nicole de Moët Brulé, had 10 children. John was the oldest. He did receive the tonsure, which is the act of shaving the top of a monk or a priest's head as a preparation for entering a religious order, at the age of 11.
Wow.
So he was earmarked and destined for holy things at a young age. And several years later, at the age of 15, he was named the canon of Reims Cathedral.
Really?
St. John Baptiste de La Salle is the founder of the Institute of the Brothers of the Christian Schools, as mentioned, and also the patron saint of Christian teachers.
So, yeah, you're right, Chuck. Patron saint of teachers, educators, particularly those involved in education of youth, and especially Christian teachers.
Yeah, and this all stems from the fact that he knew that the teachers in Reims were struggling and lacking leadership, purpose, and really the right training. And because of this, he found himself taking increasingly deliberate steps to help this small group of men that he had gathered together to form this group with their work. And firstly, in 1680, he invited them to have their meals at his home, to both teach them table manners and to inspire and instruct them in their work. So here we see some early fellowship mm-hmm. gathering for a meal, the little things, you know, that that go into the formation of an individual. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, John's relatives found his situation difficult to bear. So in some respects, he faced the opposition. And in 1681, he kind of came to the realization that he would have to take a further measures. And thus he brought the teachers, as I said, into his own home to live with them. And that's really how that all came about.
Wow.
He began this new religious institute, the Institute of the Brothers of the Christian School. The De La Salle brothers were, in fact, the first Roman Catholic religious teaching institute that did not include any priests. So in that respect, it was unique.
Interesting. Look at that, giving power to the people.
Yeah.
Which, of course, we love our priests. And you know, that's something also Vatican II emphasized, the importance of empowering the laity to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is the burden of this does not fall solely on your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the pastor is really meant to educate the flock and send them out. So sounds like he was really trying to impart that same dignity and encouragement on his flock.
Yeah. And in later years, we see that's one of the primary messages to come out of Vatican II.
Yep.
And here I've got some quotes from St. John Baptiste de La Salle. And they're just one-liners, you know. One, may God continue what he has started in you. Just seems very motivational, right? Mm-hmm. We are called to do what God is calling us to do. So let's follow through. Inspire and lead others by encouraging them.
Yeah.
God has chosen you to make him known to others. Just like you were saying, Josh, you know, the priests, when we go to Mass, we are fed with Jesus Christ and the scriptures, but we're called to go out there and be a witness of his love and share him with others.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one thing I noticed when I began to research him and look at his quotes. They're very short, concise, and powerful quotes,
mm-hmm.
which is like at the heart of all good teaching, right?
Yeah.
You get right to the point. You keep it simple so that everyone can understand it and you get your message across in as few words as possible.
And look at talking about hearts. Another quote, God expects you to touch hearts. Each one of us are called to.
Absolutely.
Amen. And, you know, he was empowering the people. He introduced his teaching in the vernacular instead of Latin. So he was teaching, you know, revolutionizing education by teaching people in their native tongue and developed classroom-based instruction instead of one-on-one tutoring and emphasized teacher training, order, and practical subjects. So really trying to give these students a pretty solid foundation to launch out on, right?
Yeah.
Emphasizing practicality in what he's teaching, but especially within their own native tongue. That's really cool. We could meet them where they were at.
Yep. And he was a tireless worker, in fact, worn out by a difficult and exhausting schedule. He did, in fact, die on April 7th, which was Good Friday, in the year 1719, a mere 3 weeks before his 68th birthday.
Wow.
So a hard, well-lived life. Faced opposition where he went, even within his own family. But as the saints do, he persevered.
He championed also respectful dignity and student participation, as well as spiritual development. And he wrote The Conduct for Christian Schools, a foundational text on classroom management and education philosophy. Could I have read that when I was a kid. That would have helped a lot.
Listen to this one. It is impossible to please God if you do not live on friendly terms with others. Even if they're not the friendliest to us, we are called to be a light.
Yeah, aligned with Christ's great commands to love God and love others, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen. St. John Baptiste de La Salle.
Pray for us.
Coming up, we have Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, talking about the similarities of the two brothers in The Prodigal Son.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:48.
Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, is back. And he is going to be reflecting on a beautiful gospel we've heard in the past, The Prodigal Son.
And I think you have a way of unpacking this that is quite unique in relating two of these characters in a way that we've never really conceptualized, or many of us perhaps haven't. I'd love to have you share more.
Thanks. I love this gospel. There's so many different dynamics here. But one of the things I think people don't think about is what the sons have in common. We know the context here. Jesus is really allowing the older son to represent the religious leaders, you know, who aren't too fond of the fact that he reaches out to public sinners and, you know, prostitutes, tax collectors. That's the context. Who represent the prodigal son that goes away and is now returning back to the father. And that's the dynamic. But I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that both sons have a lot in common. You know, one of the things that St. John Paul II used to do that talk about when he talked about love was a little bit surprising. He would say the opposite of love is not hate. We might think it's hate, but he said it's use. You know, it's when we find ourselves in relationships where this person is actually, maybe we don't even realize we're doing this, is a kind of means to a selfish end. We're using them to get something from them. So we're not really loving them because they're created in God's image. But we're using them to get something. And what you see is, if you look at both sons, is they both fall into this. You know, one is kind of obvious. He basically essentially says to his father, I wish you were dead and I want all my stuff. And then he just leaves. So obviously he doesn't love the father. He just sees the father as kind of in the way or as an instrument to him getting this inheritance so that he can live this crazy life. But the other son also is doing the same thing, and it's just in a more subtle transactional manner. In fact, if we look at the words that he says to his father, it really shows you that. It says, look, all these years I served you. These are the words of the older son to the father when the father approaches him and his son, the younger son has returned and he's upset. And he responds to his father, look, all these years I served you. Not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my best friends. It's interesting that he uses the word serve. He doesn't say I've been your son. He hasn't been living as a beloved son, experiencing this unearned, unmerited love of the father and then returning that to the father. What he saw the father as is like his boss. And he felt like he had served faithfully and now he needed to get payment. And he didn't feel like he had. And not only that, this other son who did nothing but then wasted all the inheritance is now returning. And he's back in the father's graces. And so you could see that he never really loved the father for himself, the older son, but neither did the younger son. They both missed the joy of the father's love and the joy of the father himself, that he himself is the gift, that God himself is our greatest gift. You know, it reminds me of a song that you guys probably know the song. It's one of my favorite songs out there by an artist named Jelly Roll, believe it or not. It's a hit song, yeah. And it goes, and I'll censor one word just for the sake of the listeners. It says, I only talk to God when I need a favor. Mm. And he says, I only pray when I ain't got no prayer. So who the heck am I? Who the heck am I to expect a savior if I only talk to God when I need a favor? Mm-hmm. But God, I need a favor, right? Yeah. So it's kind of, he's being honest. You know, we do come to God for things. We come for help. We come for needs, even good things. But do we ever just spend time with the Lord because we love him? Mm-hmm. And we know that he is far greater than all the gifts he gives us. In fact, he gives us those gifts so that we'll lift our hearts and eyes up to him and realize he's the greatest gift, you know, and that is the Son who we receive in the Eucharist. So I really think that's something that this parable teaches us. Also teaches us, I think when you love God for himself and you realize that he is love itself, he is mercy itself, he is life mm-hmm. itself, it will humble you.
Yeah.
And it will remind you of all the ways you maybe failed to see that. And it will allow you to recognize the people that have gone off in the kind of flagrant way that the younger son does. You'll be able to look at those people and go, you know, I'm not any more deserving than they are. I haven't merited anything either. And I've failed as well. And so we'll be able to celebrate when people turn back to the Father, mm-hmm. whether they've gone off and lived a crazy life or whether maybe we just kind of lived serving God as our duty for a long time. And we've kind of, like the older son, never really learned to appreciate the Father just for himself, God just for himself, love him for himself. So,
yeah. Well, Father, you know, I hear you talking about this, and I think many of us probably can relate, right? And just growing up, we're called to do certain things, to love God. But, you know, what are some pointers for us all how we can love God more? You know, because I don't think our ulterior motive is to get everything always, but sometimes it's kind of twisted in that direction, not even doing it intentionally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think one of the things is just spend time with him. You know, there's that famous quote from St. John Vianney talking to someone that would come in to adoration, sit in front of the tabernacle, and he asked the guy, what are you doing when you're sitting there? Because he would do it every day. And the guy said, well, I just sit there and look at God, and he looks at me. Mm-hmm. So it was just a gaze of love for him. Mm-hmm. And with us, we get to do it with exposition. I don't think it was as common that the Blessed Sacrament would be exposed in those days. So I think one of the things you can do when you do holy hours – or you stop by the church, just stop by to sit with the Lord. Mm. Part of the way we're listening to him, he often wants to say something to us, rather than just going into petitionary prayer, I need help with this, I need you to fix this, I need you to save this person, I need you to whatever, whatever. You know, we just sit with him. And I think out of that is be a contemplative. And one of the ways we have to contemplate God is we have to learn about him. You know, you learn about someone, you have to learn about him really to want to be one with him, to love them. And some of us don't know a lot about our Lord. But the more we know, if we really know it by God's grace, we'll learn to love him for himself. Mm-hmm. And so I think those two focus. One interesting thing about the parable, and I'll end with this, that you know, this is the kind of stuff that you learn through contemplation. There's a great Presbyterian pastor who's recently passed away. And he said there's a missing person in this parable. He says there's one person that's not here in the parable. And this is just his take on it. He says the person's missing from the parable because they're telling the parable. Mm. And that is our Lord, who he says is the true elder brother. And so that he doesn't symbolize our Lord either brother, he symbolizes the fatted calf. Because Jesus was willing to be slaughtered on a cross so that the older son would recognize that Jesus is, or the Father is the gift himself, not his stuff, and the older son would return, and they would both rejoice in the mercy of the Father. You know, that Jesus never gets angry when a sinner returns. He only rejoices. But he also loves the brother or the duty-bound Christian that has maybe never really appreciated God just for himself. And so Jesus shows us that love, and that's why you want to sit with him, get to know him, and I think you'll then know that the greatest gift given is, you know, God giving us his son.
Amen.
Wow, that is profound, Father. And what an amazing new set of glasses you gave us to look at this incredible, incredible parable. We are truly grateful to you, Father Mark White, from Pastor of St. Joseph's and Queen of Angels. You did it again.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes Dave.
Every now and then. We didn't have time to get to Monday memes today.
Oh, well, we're going to have Tuesday text.
Okay. We'll do that tomorrow.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Tuned to Tuesday text.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, maybe if we're lucky one of these days, Dave's going to don a fanny pack, sandals and black socks, and give us those Monday memes on camera, and we'll, you know, have a dad joke segment on social media.
I gotta get the shirt with the palm trees and stuff on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that one.
Absolutely. I also want to mention real quick that all the really bad weather has kind of moved out of our listening area, but there's still some bad stuff on the east side of the state.
Okay. Well, let's say a prayer for all of those people. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Oh, wait, I had the time wrong. Surprise, I thought we were ending at 8:57.
Everything's been all mixed up this morning because Allison's doing traffic, Josh is doing, you know,
other
stuff, forecast and all that. So we're just switching things up here, keeping everybody on their toes.
I literally thought, I was like, Dave, why are you talking so much right now? We have 10 seconds until the show ends. I was a minute and 10 seconds.
And let me share our scripture verse for the week. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12.
I like that one.
I love that. Will you say that one more time?
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. John 8:12.
Wonderful. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.